This is David Zaslav with Voices and Views V2.0. And today it's my great pleasure to welcome to the KGPR studios Dawn Sexton, Director of Clinical Education at Touro University here in Great Falls, and District Activist Leader for the State of Montana for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Welcome to the studios, Dawn.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about what brought you to Great Falls and your background.
Sure. So I have family actually in Bearfield. So that brought me here initially just to get closer to family. But I have spent the last 12 years working in higher education and the last 4 years in advocacy work for the National MS Society.
And why the MS Society?
Well, I was actually diagnosed with MS in 2016, had my first episode in 2015. So I've had it for quite some time now and decided that I wanted to have a voice.
Now, walking down the street, no one would be able to tell that you're a victim of multiple sclerosis. So tell us a little bit more about the disease itself and how it manifests itself.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for saying that, because I think it gives an opportunity to talk about how it's so different for everyone. We do call it a snowflake disease because no case is similar alike. Everybody has different symptoms. Mine started with, I actually lost mobility in my whole upper half of my body for several hours. But other patients with MS may experience things like blindness or even paralysis that's permanent. Everything, it can be different for everyone.
Wow. What is the prevalence of multiple sclerosis in the United States?
Yeah, so there's actually about 1 million people in the U.S. that live with multiple sclerosis and about 2.8 million globally. So in the state of Montana, we have almost 3,000 people, too, living with MS.
So if I'm doing my math correctly, that's about one in every 300 people in America.
Yeah, it's quite prevalent, actually. It's more common than I think, you know, people realize.
And you wouldn't know it.
I mean, looking at me. Yeah.
Or anyone.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for saying that. I mean, there are so many people that you would never know. But I think it's important to note that less than half of people with MS work. So, I mean, there is still quite a significant disability for a lot of the population with MS.
So, speaking personally, what's your biggest struggle with the disease itself? Or what's the most misconstrued belief that you'd like the folks you interact with to not have about the disease?
Yeah, I think just kind of what we've been talking about, you know, I look completely healthy right now, but there are definitely times where, you know, I go into relapses, I'm unable to like move my hands, or I'm in a lot of pain. I think during the day, as time goes on and I get more fatigued too, my cognitive function isn't as good, which I don't think a lot of people notice unless they know me really well. So I think that's the biggest misconception, is just that we feel okay, you know, because we look okay, and that's not quite it. You know, there are a lot of invisible symptoms.
That's really good to know. And I take it from the fact that there is a multiple sclerosis society that there is some support that you can get from fellow victims or sufferers. What's the correct term here?
No, fellow warriors. I think some people don't like that term, which I don't quite understand. But yeah, we go by MS warriors sometimes, or just fellow, you know, volunteers that I meet. That's probably been the best connection for me through the MS Society, is meeting other people like me with MS at these conferences that we go to, or when we go to Hill Day, things along those lines. But I do prefer the term MS warrior, despite what people say.
It's probably the pacifists that object to the term warriors.
Yeah.
But you never know. It sounds to me like there are then lots of activities, and it sounds like you got enough from the society that you chose to step up and take on a leadership position in the society.
Yeah. I started actually on the volunteer recruitment committee, just trying to find volunteers in the community I was living with or living in at the time. But yeah, I wanted to step up to advocacy, and that's one of the, I think, best segments to volunteer in with the society, for sure. We get to go to D.C. every year and go to a conference, then we get to go to Hill Day and speak with our state delegates about issues that are important to us.
But the society itself is made up entirely of warriors.
The volunteers typically are, yes. And you'll find that a lot of the employees, too, have some connection to MS. Like they're maybe a parent had it, or a good friend, or so everybody has some sort of connection. That's why they're involved.
But it's not an actual rule that you have to be a warrior in order to be part of the society.
No. In fact, you know, I have a lot of good friends that maybe I have a mother-daughter duo that I work with that are from the Northwest as well, Washington and Oregon, and I think that's pretty awesome. Her mom travels to DC and advocates for her too. So no, it's not a requirement that you have MS, but most people do have a connection to it.
That's awesome. And so you were just in DC recently. Tell us about that experience and what kinds of activities were part of that experience.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So we did go to Washington, DC just a few weeks ago for the public policy conference is what they call it. And we get to network a lot. We go to presentations about how to tell our story. And then we learn a lot about the priorities that we're discussing with congressional members on Hill Day. It ends with a day on the Hill, which is super busy because we go speak to the House side, to the Senate side. And then this year, I actually was part of a Pacific Northwest team. So I spoke with more than just Montana state delegates.
Oh, yes. Public policy. It always seems to come back to public policy here on Voices and Views. So tell us more about what kinds of legislation you're actively pursuing at the society, I mean, not personally, but what are the objectives for the coming, say, 12 to 18 months?
Sure. So what we talked about with them this time in DC was access to telehealth. So expanding the Connect for Health Act and just making sure that telehealth isn't limited. And that's so important in Montana because obviously it's such a rural community. A lot of people don't know this, but actually the closest MS center in Montana is Billings. So telehealth is very important for people living with MS, but also for just all Montanans, the elderly, any disabled, anyone that can't get to the doctor very easily, right? So that was one of the priorities. And then also just asking for some more research funding. It's through the Department of Defense, actually. It's the only federally funded stream of funding for the for MS. So
what are the barriers standing between us and a Great Falls presence like Billings has?
I think just one of the things that Touro University is trying to address is the shortage of physicians. And I think that's a big part of it. It's really interesting, even just getting a support group started here. We need a little bit more resources for sure. There are neurologists here, but there's just not that MS Center for Excellence that's supported by the society.
But it could take a combination of warriors and non-warriors working together to potentially bring about that result of having a Great Falls Multiple Sclerosis Society chapter.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Right now, we're a part of the Greater Northwest chapter. But yeah, I mean, we do have a lot of people here that have MS. I also run Walk MS, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. And then I'm trying to restart the support group. So there are, there are quite a bit of people that show up to the walk that tell me, oh, I have MS. I haven't seen any society events or I haven't seen the support group lately. Like really the official walk is in Billings. This one that's here is all volunteer ran. So
yeah, and whenever we talk about events, I always like to put in a plug for KGPR radio station's new website, The Electron, which actually allows you to post event information about any local organization that's holding a publicly accessible event where it's not members only. It can be a paid event or it can be free events, and you can actually get the word out that way through our website and its database.
That's great. John Tester and Senator Daines both are co-sponsors for the Connect for Health Act for the telehealth bill that we're trying to get passed again.
So. And when something passes at the national level, of course, the benefits flow down to the state.
Correct, yeah.
Both John and Steve are vocal advocates. They're both taking it, taking the argument where it needs to be taken.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all of the state delegates were very supportive of, you know, expanding telehealth. It's just there's so many telehealth bills actually out there. The MS Society believes the Connect for Health Act is the best one. So we are really trying to push for that. But like I said, Senator John Tester and Senator Daines were already co-sponsors. So it was really when we were in D.C. just thanking them, for supporting that. And then discussing the research funding.
Yes, and every time we're in an election year, I always like to give my listeners good questions to ask candidates. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in this case, the candidates could be asked, are they in favor of the telehealth bill? Right.
Yeah. And they both are. So.
And they both are. And those who are challenging them should be as well.
Right. I would hope so.
If they hope to win.
Especially in Montana.
That's right. Because there's only benefits to that bill. Mm-hmm.
Well, and with the research funding bill, too, it affects our military because it is, you know, through the Department of Defense and the research they're doing. So actually, a lot of people don't know this, but there's a higher prevalence of MS in the military compared to the general population. So there's about 70,000 vets in America living with MS, and 20,000 of those are service-related MS. So we don't know why that is. So a lot of this research, of course, goes into those sort of things as well. But I think that's something important to note for Montana because, you know, we do have such a high population of veterans in the state, too.
And when we say veterans, do we also want to talk about the prevalence of MS on our actual base in terms of active military personnel?
Yeah, I wish we had better numbers for that. We just don't. We really rely on people reaching out to the society. And if they don't, which to me just seems silly, it's, you know, really the only resource for anyone living with MS. But if they don't reach out, we may never connect with them. So.
And so how do people reach out to the society? What are the contact points?
Yeah, so usually your neurologist would refer you or your physician, but, you know, just going to the website, you can find how to connect with the navigator who will assist you with things like copay assistance for medications, you know, getting any financial questions answered or whatever it may be. A lot of people have questions about how to handle things at their job, like how do I disclose to my workplace, things like that. So, it's pretty easy to get a hold of a navigator once you get on the website.
And which website are we talking about?
Yeah, it's the NationalMSSociety.org. So it's NMSS.org.
NMSS.org.
Yes.
And that's easy to remember.
It's a complicated one.
It's not that complicated because it's short. That's the nice part of it.
Yeah. So, but usually, too, your neurologist would have like navigator cards and that information ready for you already.
And what if you're not yet diagnosed?
Yeah, so that's kind of the tricky thing. It can take a long time to get diagnosed. I was really lucky when I say I got diagnosed in 9 months. But there are some people that it takes years to get diagnosed with MS because it presents so differently in everyone. You know, they could get misdiagnosed at first, or maybe they need to show like another set of symptoms before they can diagnose it. There's a lot of different markers that they look for.
So one potential benefit of joining a society like this one is that folks can help make sure that everyone gets the proper diagnosis or gets pointed at resources for diagnosis if they haven't gone through that yet.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of times, especially here in Montana, we may go to our primary care, you know, and it could take a long time to get into these specialists, too. I think that's another important thing to know. So it can just take a long time in general to get the care, especially with only one MS center in the state. So. I actually, when I had my first episode, was at a critical access center, and they didn't even have an MRI machine. And then I had to wait months to get into a Seattle physician. This is before I lived in Montana, and that's why it took so long.
It's a microcosm of a larger healthcare issue about availability of beds, availability of specialists, reimbursement rates, I assume, are also lagging when you see a neurologist.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the insurance, obviously, but I think like the meds are really where the problem lies. I mean, it's some crazy number, like the average cost of a medicine for MS per year is like $94,000 a year. If you don't have insurance, you have to find financial programs. Even if your insurance does cover it, a lot of times there's a gap for copay that can still be thousands of dollars a month.
Hopefully that's somewhat better for our military veterans and active personnel.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak, you know, to that really because I'm not military, but yeah, it depends on their TRICARE coverage. And luckily there are a lot of programs out there for copay assistance to help with that gap. But like, it's really interesting if a medication goes generic, you can no longer get that copay assistance and it's still just as expensive as generic. So it affects our treatment plans a lot because we have to move to a different medication because of what our insurance dictates or what the pharmaceutical market is dictating.
Sounds like a complex maze to navigate in some cases.
It is. And I think it's important to note, too, there's no cure. So these meds that I'm talking about are just what we call disease-modifying therapies. So they're just, like, hopefully slowing down the disease. So there is no cure, or it's just, you know, a therapy to help slow it down, the progression.
But are we talking about a disease that is always fatal or fatal in most cases or just in many cases?
I wouldn't say it's fatal. I would say disabling. You know, that's probably the right word for it. So basically, our immune system attacks our central nervous system in MS. So it's eating at your nerve fibers. Like think of like a wire with the, you know, the plastic coating around it, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
Think of that as what we call myelin. And that's what surrounds your nerves. So our immune system is attacking that covering, that myelin. And so then your brain can't send signals to the rest of the body where that damage is. Does that make sense?
It does. It's almost like a short-circuiting
effect.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we say when we go speak on the Hill, is it's like short-circuiting. Yeah, that's perfect.
Well, then tell me now what society events are taking place here locally and how can the average listener to Voices and Views get involved or take part?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. So we are having Walk MS on May 11th in West Bank Park. It'll be at 10 a.m. We're going to have a 1 mile and a 3 mile walk that anyone can participate in. They can just go to the Walk MS website and search Great Falls, Montana or GFMT and find a team that they can join. I can also, you know, put the event on your new event page. So it's a little easier. Yeah, it's a little easier to find on the Electron, and I'll put the direct link on there.
And you said Walk MS is the name of the website?
Yeah. So Walk MS, this one's a little different because it is volunteer ran, but it is still a lot of fun. Last year we had a great turnout. And we make it a great time. You know, May, you never know what the weather's going to look like. Great Falls.
I'm pretty sure it'll be a little better than it is now.
Yeah, I hope so.
We certainly don't want snow on the ground when we do the walk.
No, we don't. It was pretty cold and rainy last year, but we're hoping for better.
What route will the walk take? Do you know?
Yeah, so we will go from West Bank Park around the river by the Milwaukee Building and across the bridge back to West Bank Park for the 3 mile walk. And then for the 1 mile walk, we'll have just a turnaround marker at about a half mile so they can go back. But yeah, we'll have refreshments and lunch and door prizes and we make it fun.
I always like to make sure my listeners know where the free food is.
Yes, free food is always important.
It tends to increase participation, I think.
Yes, and we're always looking for any kind of donations to support that too. So, you know, if any business wants to donate like pastries or, you know, lunch or whatever it may be, I'm happy to talk to them.
And what about financial contributions?
Yeah, so it is a fundraiser. I of course, more view it as for awareness, but it is a fundraiser. Once you join the Great Falls team, you can post your own fundraising page and you post it on your Facebook or wherever, and people can donate either directly to you or to the team.
Okay, and who would we be writing a check to if we made a financial contribution?
Yeah, the National MS Society.
The National MS Society.
They do support. We are starting up a support group again here in Great Falls, which I am looking forward to doing myself. And, you know, those funds do support us here, too, in Montana.
That's great. So as you enter the information on the Electron, make sure you tick the fundraiser box as well as the sports and exercise box.
Okay, I will do that. Sounds perfect.
Because a lot of people here, especially with Give Great Falls coming up, we want to make sure that everyone who could be contributing to a society like this one knows that it's open to potentially make financial contributions.
Yeah, thank you. And we also have, too, a health fair coming up for Touro University that the Walk MS will have a table at. And I will actually be speaking at this event, too. So there's a health fair on April 8th, and it's from 3 to 5:30.
Well, that's just days away.
I know. It's really not that far away.
What should we expect if we come to this? We're calling it TuroCom?
Yeah, TuroCom is probably the easiest way to say it. So that's short for Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine. And there will be several booths with different, you know, healthcare vendors in the area. We'll have a few speakers during certain times. I'll make sure that we get that on the Electron page as well.
Very good. And is this the event where people can come and actually get help with their own health?
There's going to be like blood pressure checks, things along those lines. So yeah, anybody can come in. It's more of a health fair, like we're not going to diagnose anything. But
hopefully not
yeah,
MS.
No, hopefully not. But yes, it's open to the public. We'll have a lot of speakers and a lot of fun.
That's great. And what hours will the fair be on for?
3 to 5:30 on April 8th.
So just a 2.5 hour window. And
yeah.
Is there a pre-registration required for that or you just show up?
Come in, check in. There'll be a check-in process, but you don't have to pre-register.
And what's the street address?
Oh, it is 2801 18th Avenue South, Great Falls. Yes, thank you.
On the route to the
Put
ground
me on the
view.
Spot. Yes, right across from the Catholic High School.
There we go, right across from Catholic. I think everyone knows how to get to that, especially if they've ever been to Benefice.
Yes, and I mean, you can see our building behind, right behind Benefice.
Well, you would know where your building is if you've been by recently, but those buildings only went up in the past year.
Yeah, it's very new, and it's a great, it's a beautiful campus, so I really hope a lot of people come and see it.
And we'll get to see inside those buildings if we come to the fair?
So it's the first floor will be open, yes.
That's wonderful, because they look like very interesting architecture to me.
Yeah, it's a beautiful building. Very lucky to be there, and we're lucky to have this medical school in Great Falls.
And 3 to 5:30 on the 8th, and will snacks be provided? We don't know.
I don't know about snacks. Where's what did I do with that little plug?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
People will come fed. If there's snacks, it'll be like dessert snacks. They won't consider it dinner.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely no dinner.
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit obsessive when it comes to this because I just find that my fellow Great Falls citizens tend to show up in much larger numbers when they know there's food there.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I'm the same way, so it's okay.
Dawn Sexton, it's been a delight having you in the studios. Dawn Sexton is the Director of Clinical Education at Touro University here in Great Falls, and the district activist leader for the state of Montana for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Dawn, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
This is David Saslov with Voices and Views V2.0 at KGPR FM 89.9 on your FM dial. Please join us again on Talk Tuesday for our next Voices and Views V2.0 interview.